The scripture reading for today is from Mark chapter 12, verses 41. It's on your pew Bibles if you want to follow along on page 1576. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything in, all she had to live in, on." Here is the reading of the word.
Imagine with me for just a moment the setting of Mark chapter 12. You notice that this passage is probably, is the very last few verses in Mark chapter 12. But before this passage, a lot of other things have already taken place in the same chapter. So let's visit for a little while the setting of this last story in this particular chapter. If you read a little bit, in the middle of Mark chapter 12, you would find that Jesus had just encountered a tense confrontation with some of the religious leaders, especially the teachers of the law. So everyone wasn't that happy then. And then after the confrontation, Jesus and the disciple headed off to the temple in Jerusalem all together. And it was at the temple of Jerusalem that, in front of the offering boxes, the temple treasury, that, they took a break. And Jesus sat down watching people bringing their offerings into the temple. This is how offerings were taken back during the days of Jesus. The treasury place was one of several large rooms in the temple in Jerusalem. Altogether, if you count the number of offerings, there are 13 offering boxes. And they are all shaped like a trumpet. Every box has a different purpose or a different name. There was a box for contribution to, say, the building funds or the temple fund. There was another box marked, salaries or stipends for the priests and the Levites. There was also another for, say, compassionate or mercy ministry, such as giving to the poor, the homeless. There was also one for free will offering. So altogether, you find 13 boxes like that, or 13 offering, trumpets. And whatever you want to, donate, you go to the one with the correct marking. When an individual would go up and put their tithes or their offering into the box, usually, very often, they would announce the amount and say what it is for. So, someone might come up and say $500 for the church building fund. And then they would put that $500 into the trumpet-shaped building, box. And then another person would come up and say $200 for community outreach. And so someone would announce that, and the $200 would go down into the box marked community outreach. And that is exactly where we pick up the passage today. Before we read this passage again, we have time to read it because it's a short one. Let us turn to God in prayer. Father, we pray that your word, particularly this passage, would be more than just another familiar story to us. We pray, O Father God, that you would open our eyes to see deeper and more wonderful truth out of your word and incline our hearts to listen, to obey, and to cherish. Speak to all of us, Father God, speaker and listeners alike, and grow this church, Father God, and root it deeply in your truth. For it is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let us read Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 41 again, all together. I ask that when you join me reading, read a little bit louder, okay? Let's read together. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, This poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. On surface, this passage has very little to do with mothers, and so it seems. Very often when you hear this passage being preached on, it is usually used to emphasize sacrificial or generous giving. But actually, you know, as far as Jesus is concerned, he was observing a mother in action. A mother who did what she did because she loved God and because she was committed to God. We know that, you know, in scriptures, you know, usually when you come across the term widow, it is used to describe mothers with children most of the time. So we can safely or reasonably assume that in this situation, even though not very many details about this widow were mentioned, that this too was probably a mother with child or with children. She is not only a faith example to mothers, but to everyone, men and women alike. Unfortunately, back in the cultures of, old civilizations, widows were very often marginalized and neglected. For instance, we know that people oftentimes took advantage of them. No one cared for them in their time of need. So therefore, you know, as far back as, say, 4,000 years ago, Job was already, you know, complaining that the widows were being taken advantage of. In chapter 24, he says, they prey on the barren and childless woman, and to the widows, they show no kindness at all. We also know that, you know, sometimes, you know, in suffering, widows' lives were considered of very little value. So in Psalms 94, the psalmist cries out to God on behalf of the widows. People, wicked people, slay the widows and the alien. They murder the fatherless. Sure, there were laws, you know, set up to protect and to care for the widows, but very often the laws were abused for personal gains. So you find that when you open the book of Isaiah, you know, the very first chapter of Isaiah is an indictment against the rulers and the authority in ancient Israel. Isaiah said, "You rulers are rebels, companions of thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them." This was Isaiah speaking against his own people, against the authority in Jerusalem. And we also know that, you know, even in the New Testament time, widows oftentimes were neglected in caring ministry. Acts chapter 6, in those days when the numbers of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So it is reasonable to imagine that, you know, the widow that Jesus was observing or watching was also a mother who was destitute and living at the mercy of others who may or may not help her. On top of that, she was very, very poor, we know that. And why was she so poor and destitute? From the preceding verses, it is reasonable to conclude that, you know, the reason why she was poor and the reason why she was so hard up and so destitute has something to do with religious leaders, people who knew better because of the abuse of the teachers of the law who were supposed to protect her. Why do we say that? Mark chapter 12 again. Just a few verses before this immediate passage, in verse 38, as Jesus taught, he said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." It is not coincidental that, you know, as soon as Jesus finished talking about this, in Mark's gospel, you know, Mark recorded that, you know, there is a situation with a widow, so poor that she could only afford two tiny little copper coins. So there she was with her offering, this mother. Others were also bringing in their offerings. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, how much the others put into the offering box. But we know that they gave huge sums, huge amounts. That would lead us to believe that, you know, they probably gave more than the average citizen or more than the average, you know, individual could afford. These individuals were probably rather proud of their sizable contributions to the temple. With great pride, they might, you know, even be putting on a show trying to outdo one another. They were trying to impress other people with their so-called generosity, big-heartedness, and their ability to contribute to so-called the house of God. I imagine that perhaps some of the priests were probably very impressed, very touched by these sizable contributions. They were probably thinking about all the goods and all the opportunities you can do with all this kind of money coming in. There was, however, in this passage we read, one person in particular who wasn't that impressed with their contributions. Standing in sharp contrast to the wealthy folks who piled their money in the offering box was a widow who had only two virtually worthless copper coins to put into the box. Two tiny little coins, less than a fraction of a penny. Smallest coin in the circulation back then. The Bible doesn't tell us how she got hold of these two coins. It really doesn't matter. The fact is that she gave everything she had. Jesus judged the widow. It is interesting to observe. Jesus judged the widow's gifts not by how much she gave, although that is true, but more by how much she had left after giving. Jesus judged the worth of the widow's gifts not so much by how much she gave, but more by how much she has left after giving. The rich people did very well to give out of their abundance, but still, truth be told, after giving out a lot, they still have plenty left to enjoy. But as far as this mother is concerned, she gave everything and therefore she had given more than all the rest of them. She could have kept back, say, one coin, but yet she willingly and deliberately gave both her coins. She gave everything and trusted God to care for her. It is a lesson of self-surrender. It is a lesson of trust in God to provide for our needs that all of us can emulate. The widow gave, the mother gave, out of a love and out of a commitment to God. And the reason why Jesus' conclusion, you know, is this, is because Jesus saw into her heart the real motive for her giving. Mark said Jesus was sitting across the treasury and that Jesus was watching the crowd coming in and out. Mark used a very specific word in verse 41 for watched. It is the idea of looking very intensely, looking with a purpose deliberately, that it doesn't matter however small or seemingly insignificant, you know, nothing would escape Jesus' eye. So Jesus was watching intensely, deliberately at everything that was going on. The picture is that, you know, somehow Jesus has penetrating eyes. Not only was Jesus able to, you know, look at a person, but he was also able to look right through the person. We know this is a very frequent description of God, of God's ability to look into human hearts. Revelation chapter 1:14, for instance, the eyes of Jesus were described like, you know, blazing fire. The same thing in Revelation chapter 2. Back in the Old Testament, you know, God is also said to have penetrating looks, that his eyes were like flaming torches. So here it is. When Mark wrote about this incident in chapter 12, Mark was saying that Jesus wasn't just looking at the people coming and going, but Jesus was sitting across the treasury as the judge of the universe. He judges people based upon their hearts, their motives, and their commitment. So we will look at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44, that Jesus is actually the eternal judge. He is the eternal judge, judging the people coming and going. It is a very important and a very, very vivid reminder for all of us that, you know, every day, every moment, we live in the presence of God. We live before God. What people may not be able to see us doing in private, God understands and he sees everything. And that one day, we would have to give an account of all that we do to him. And that being the case, the widow gave an account to the two small copper coins she had. How are we going to give an account of the possessions, of the loved ones, of the career, of the opportunity, of the time, and of the ability God has entrusted to us? It is a very, very serious and solemn and sobering thought. Now, why did Jesus again single out this mother in particular? He did it as a faith example because of her commitment and because of her love for God. The mother gave not so much because she had to, not so much because, you know, probably she couldn't do much with two copper coins anyway. So therefore, why hang on to two copper coins? You might as well donate it to the house of God and therefore look good. Jesus knew that she gave because she loved God, because she was concerned about eternity, about God's house, God's relationship with God, God's word and God's kingdom. Why do we say that? I would encourage you, you know, when you go home and you spend some time looking at the whole chapter of Mark chapter 12, you would find that, you know, there were a few stories there, but each and every one of these stories has something in common. They are either something about God's kingdoms, God's house, or God's purpose, or about God himself. For instance, let's start with, you know, Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Here, people were trying to trick Jesus, you know, into answering a very, very difficult question. Do you pay taxes to Caesar, or do you give your money to God? We may have to contend with earthly Caesars, you know, earthly government and authority, Jesus says. But we are to be more concerned with the heavenly ruler. You know, do not forget God and give to God what belongs to God. So here, when we talk about taxes to Caesars, Jesus was already turning the table around that, you know, don't just think about taxes. Don't just think about earthly things. Think about a greater ruler, a greater government, God himself, and how you are related to God. And then down, you know, in the next segment, people were again trying to trick Jesus. You know, what would life eternal be? What would, you know, the condition of living in God's presence be like? Would there be marriage in resurrection? And Jesus said, you know, don't think about, again, so much earthly things. Because life eternal, the quality of living in God's presence is going to be very different, much, much improved than we can ever imagine or dream of on earth. Life eternal is so different and higher level of existence that, you know, for instance, we don't have to worry about marriage as we know it on earth. And Jesus is going to be the Lord of eternity. And going down, you know, Jesus was reminding them that, you know, all the while what you're thinking about marriage or what you're thinking about taxes and money and property, think about your relationship with God. So the next segment, the greatest commandment. What counts? What is important in the eyes of God? And then down the, you know, in the next segment, whose son is Jesus Christ? What is your relationship to Jesus Christ? Who do you think he is? So when we go through all these things, you know, every single section has to do with our relationship with God. And therefore, when we come to the last story in Mark chapter 12, we could and we should also safely assume that this story about the woman's, you know, giving her two coins to God also has something to do with eternity, also has something to do with her relationship with God. She loves God so much that, you know, she would trust God to supply her needs. She loved God so much that even though she had two tiny little coins, she was willing to part with it because of her love. As Jesus, the eternal judge, sat opposite the treasury, looking into the hearts of all those giving and some of them with impressive amounts. The widow mother somehow caught his attention because she offered all that she had. And she did so because of her love for God. When Paul was writing to encourage Timothy, Paul was saying that, you know, Timothy, one of the things I appreciate about you was because you have a mother of faith. You have a grandmother of faith. And we think about this widow in this passage. One of the things that, you know, God, one of the things that God has given us, one of the very, very best things that God has given us are parents. And mothers have a tremendous opportunity to pass on the blessings of God by becoming mothers of faith. Paul wrote to Timothy saying that I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you too. Like the widow mother in our picture, Timothy was blessed because he had a mother and a grandmother of faith. Churches are blessed and families are blessed when their mothers and their fathers are men and women of faith. When you come into relationship with God, God has a lot of blessings to give to you and to those around you. If you are the only person of faith in your family, you are the only opportunity or only window of blessing that God has to work through in blessing you and in blessing those around you. When we encourage mother, when we appreciate mother, we pray that they would also grow into women of God. Because more than education, more than money, more than love and affections, the best thing that you can pass on, and we can pass on as a church, to our children, to the next generation and the generation that comes, and also sharing with one another, is our faith in the Lord Jesus. When we are talking about mothers and women, and not forgetting fathers and men of faith, we are not so much talking about men and women who are able to, say, lead Bible study, who are able to, say, you know, do evangelism, or like Greg and Luna, go into mission field. We are not talking about people who say, you know, boy, it took me 3 months or 3 years, but I have finally read through the whole Bible, memorized the entire book of Psalms. We are not talking about people like that. We are talking about men and women who love God so much that they would continue to grow in their relationship with God, with their Savior. We are thinking about mothers who, like one I know, would clean, you know, come to the church and clean pews. And as she was cleaning, she would offer prayers for the church and for those that she knew. I'm thinking about a particular mother who, you know, when she said, you know, she does vacuuming in her house, that is a time when she would also start her prayer time, you know. I'm thinking about mothers who, because of their love for God, they would do all kinds of things. Like Jesus, you know, Jesus knew what was in the heart of the widow. He knew that the reason why the widow did exactly such an offering was because she loved God. We may not be able to see through people's hearts, but God is able, and that is all that it matters. We pray that our church would continue to be a place where men and women, young and old, would grow in faith. More than just being good people, we want to be a community filled with love and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, as we honor and appreciate mother, you know, I was holding the lift for some mothers from the Cantonese service, and I was so glad that I heard one of them, you know, telling other people that, you know, every day is Mother's Day. Don't you agree? Every day is Mother's Day, you know. We trust that every day, you know, in this church and beyond the four walls, you know, there would be a real spirit of encouragement and concern and appreciation for parents, for everyone. And sometimes as children, no matter how old you might be, you know, you may be a 40-year-old, you know, kid, you may be a 70-year-old kid, but in the eyes of parents, you are still a kid. But sometimes as children, it is easy for us to underappreciate, undervalue. It is easy for us to forget to show love, concern, understanding, and patience for those who brought us up. So by way of concluding, besides recognizing and appreciating mothers and fathers in our midst, I'm asking Mary to come up and read a poem. It was one that was given to me a while ago. I have kept it, and I hope that it would speak something of our Christian response to our parents too. Because as the Ten Commandments tells us, when we honor our father and our mother, it pleases God. And it opens an opportunity, a way for God to bless us. Mary?
My dear child, when you were still little, I spent a lot of time teaching you how to use a spoon and chopsticks to eat with. I taught you to do your shoelaces, button up, try out the slide, put on your shirt properly, comb your hair, blow your nose. Oh, how I recall fondly the many little things we did together. My dear child, do you remember the many times we practiced before you could master the first nursery song? Oh. So, when I can no longer recall, can't latch on to the conversation, please give me a little more time. Wait a while and let me think. Perhaps even when then I will still no longer be able to remember what I want to say. My dear child, do you remember the many times we practiced before you could master the first nursery song? Do you remember how each day I have to search my mind to attempt the many whys you posed, and goodness knows where in the world you had so many questions when you were little? So when I bring up over and over again old stories or sing songs from my childhood, please be understanding. Let me indulge in my precious memories, and I hope you would also be there to reminisce with me and just chat. My child, nowadays, I sometimes forget to button up, tie my shoelaces. When I eat, I sometimes mess up my clothing, and my hands do not seem to be steady when I comb my hair. Do not rush me then, but be more patient and gentle with me, because your presence and understanding will bring me much warmth and a thankful heart. My child, now that my feet tend to wobble and I'm hard of walking, please take hold of my hand firmly. Be there with me. Let me take my time, and let us take our time together. Just like what we used to do years ago when you were little, when I took your hand and taught you how to walk little step, little by little.
As we honor mothers, let us remember we are also to respect them, love them, and cherish them, for they too are part of the blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Most gracious Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage and the example of this mother who surrendered and trusted you for all that she needs. Increase our desire for you and deepen our reliance on you. On this Mother's Day, we thank you for our mothers, to whom you have entrusted the care of every precious human life from its very beginning. We thank you, O Lord, that you have given mothers the great, awesome privilege and responsibility of being a child's first teacher and spiritual guide. Help them to grow daily in knowledge and understanding of your Son, and give them the wisdom to impart this knowledge faithfully to their children and to all who depend on them. We pray, Father God, especially for new mothers coming to terms with new responsibility. We pray for expectant mothers and those who desire to become mothers, for those who are tired, stressed out, or depressed. We pray for those who struggle to balance the tasks of work and family. We also pray for mothers who are unable to feed their children because of their because they are poor. For those whose children have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities. We pray for single mothers who raise children on their own. For those who have borne the pain of losing a child. For those who care for the children of others, for those whose children have left home. We pray for them. Father, we are also giving thanks for mothers who have passed into your presence and yet are with us always. And for those who have mothered us into birth, for those we call spiritual mothers who have taught us to be disciples of Jesus. Gracious Lord, we remember mothers far away from their children, for those in the military and those in other lands, bring them home and bring them home safely. For mothers separated by divorce, pain, or conflict, give them peace, and may they believe in the promise of God and hope in Christ, who calls all of us to be united in him. Give your grace, O Lord, we ask, to all mothers, that their love may be deep and tender, and that they may lead their children to know what is good and to honor you. For all this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.